Judy?
He hasn't come on yet.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yesterday was yesterday was the third day of the Omer. You can find the handout on the Unique Astrological Times link. If you scroll down to the area of counting the Omer, the first link under that is a whole list of the dates of the Omer. And click on the date for the evening of the 23rd of April. And we'll start with step one. L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kud shabarichu ish b'shin kinte. Bidhilu urchimu. Urchimu udhilu. L'yakka shenim yudhe b'vavhe. Yehuda Shalim Bishem Kol Yisrael, Hinea Nachnu Bayem Lekayem Mitzvat Sefirat HaOmer, Lasot Nachat Ruach Leotrenu Velasot Ratzon Borenu, Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kononei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kononeihu. And now step two is to read these various verses from Psalms. Psalm 138:8. Adonai yigmor be'adi, Adonai hasdecha, le'olam ma'aseh yadicha el teref. Psalm 57:3. Echra le'elohim el'yon la'el gomer alai. Ezekiel 16:6. Ve'evor alayich ve'vayerech mitposeset. Bedamayich vayomar lach bedamayich vayi vayomar. Lach bedamayich chaye. Psalm 104:1. Barki nafshi et Adonai Elohim. Elohai gedalta meod. Od lehadar lavashta. Psalm 104:2. O te or kasama, no te shamayim kairia. Saying the blessing. Please note the meditation on the name Hashem is spelled out name, having a gematria 45, which represents Zerantin, represents the name Adam. And the last two words, the first letter of which is the Samach and the Hey, giving a gematria of 65. Which is the gematria of Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, the name of God in the frame of Malchut. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav Vetzivanu al sefirat haomer. Hayom arba'a Hayamim la'omer. Today is the fourth day of the Omer. Consider in what ways a space of four sides expresses the number four. It represents completion, represents a complete structure. In what way does a square or a rectangle represent borders? All of these thoughts connect to the number four. The Or Panimi, the inner light. Harachaman hu yachatzir avodat beit hamikdash. Lim koma bim hera bi amenu. Amen. Psalm 67. Lam natseah bin ginot mizmor shir. Elohim yechanenu bivarkenu ya'er. Ya'er is a word that translates as may he cause. A cause is what a creator is. A creator causes things to happen. A co-creator, which is what man is supposed, is going to grow into spiritually, requires the consciousness of becoming and being a cause. Anavitanusela Ladaat Bares Darkeha Bekol Goim Yeshuatecha. Yoducha mim Elohim, Yoducha mim Kulam. Yismechu. The fourth letter is the letter Chet. And the letter Chet is composed of three parts. A Vav on the right, a Zion on the left, and a carrot looks like a house, connecting them together and symbolizing the center column. The word het comes from the shorish, or the root that means an animal. Use this letter to remove the base, the animal emotions within us. How can I do that? Each time a base emotion occurs within you, stop what you are doing. Stop the reactive nature, the reactive response. Utilize the chet, the animal innate emotions within you. Recognize when they occur and stop the actions that are based on those animalistic emotions. Hmm. Virana nu leumim ki tishpa pot amim mishor ulumim ba'aretz tanchem sela. Yoducha mim Elohim, Yoducha mim kulam, Eretz nadna yevula yevarkenu, Elohim Eloheinu, yevarkenu, Elohim v'yiru oto, kol afse aretz. Please join me in the Anabakoa. We will stop at the fourth word, the fourth letter. Anabakoa, Gedulat Yemincha. The letter Yud from Yemincha. The letter Yud as a gematria of 10. 10 connects to all of the Sephirot. Contemplate how the smallest letter is the most unified and how you can duplicate that consciousness within your very active life. How can you have the consciousness of being small, of being lowly? And by doing so, contemplate how that creates unity around you, within you. Tatir Terura Aleph Bet Gimel Yutak Tzadi Kabel Rinat Amchasak Beinu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kevavat Shamrim Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kashin Parchem Tacharem Rachamei Sidkatcha Tamid Gamlem Betet Reish Tzadi Tav Gimel Chasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Na'el adatecha Tet kuf bet, tet nun ayin Yachid ge'er Lamcha b'nei Zohrei kedushatecha Yud gimel lamed, tei zayin kuf Shavatenu kabel Ushma tziakatenu yodea ta'alumot Shin kufal tzadi yutta. And the eighth verse we say in a whisper. The fourth journey out of the 42 journeys in the desert was from Etam to Pi HaCherut. The Freedom Valley, or the mouth of the river, facing Baal Tzifon, the Lord of the North, camping near Migdal, which was a tower. And this journey is connected to the Yud of the first verse in the Anabakoa. The location is named Pi HaCherut, since it was here that the Jewish people became free people. Cherut means freedom in Hebrew. The Baal Tzifon was an Egyptian deity. in the next leg of our life journey as we lose our childhood innocence and mature into adults, we begin to take on complex and paradoxical features. On one hand, we become free, independent adults, able to make rational decisions, driven not by childhood emotions, but by sober reflection. But on the other hand, our newfound freedom also faces a looming idol. In the north, we begin to be tempted by worship of false gods, self-worship, worship of money, power, or other man-made deities. As we grow through our development, this may be the essential goal of all education. We will have the option to become a towering force for good or a tower of vanity in our own eyes. In your present life circumstances, are you building a tower of vanity or a tower of good in the world? What will you do to make sure your actions are always working for good? Step 9. Ribono shel olam, ata tzevitanu al yedei Moshe, avdecha lispor sefirat haomer. Kidei letacharenu, miklipotenu, tumatenu, kimo shekatavta, betorata huspartam, lachem, mimacharad ha-shabbat miyom haviachem, eto omer, ha-tenufa sheva shabbatot, temimot yetiyena. Mi macharat ha-shabbat ha-shvishvit tesafru chamishim yom kedei sheyitacharu nafshot amcha Yisrael mizo hamatam uvechein yihi ratzon milfanecha Adonai Eloheinu Elohei Avoteinu שבזכות ספירת האומר, שספרתי היום, יתקן מה שבגמתי בספירה. נצח שבחסד. נצח translates as eternal victory. Eternity, acknowledging, and this is within loving kindness. What does eternal loving kindness look like? How does one achieve this level of consciousness? How can one make sure that all of our actions are for eternity and not going to come to an end? V'yetaher v'yetkadesh v'kdusha shel ma'ala, amen selah. The righteous who left this day, which is the 19th day of Nisan, Rabbi Yehoshua Falk, the son of Rabbi Alexander HaKohen, Rabbi Aaron HaGadol of Karlin, Rabbi Menachem, the son of Rabbi Elazar Ziemba, who's also known as Rabbi Menachem Prager, Rabbi Shlomo Leib of Lynch, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Weiss of Sprinka, Rabbi Shmuel Alexander Unzendorfer, and step 11. Which prophet? The prophet that is connected to Netzach Shebechesed is Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe our teacher, the famous Moshe from the Bible. He was a prophet, the best prophet, the highest prophet, the eternal prophet. He is part of Mashiach. He returns in every generation, just in case the generation is ready for Mashiach, merits Mashiach. The first verse in the Torah where Moshe is mentioned is known as the seed level or the keter of our knowledge and connection to Moshe. The translation of this verse, and the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she had hid him 3 months. The sages teach that goodly means Moshe was born circumcised. Please contemplate the relationship between the circumcision ritual, the land of Israel, and the children of Israel, as these all relate to Netzach Shebechesed. Does anyone have any questions about the counting of the Omer for day 4? Or about the counting of the Omer? Or any other subject? Our handout today can be found on the Unique Astrological Times link in the section of the counting of the Omer. It's the second link. It's titled, The Relationship of Hair and the Omer, written by the Ari. We are taught in the Kabbalah to cut our hair prior to the holiday of Pesach, and to not cut our hair until the 49th afternoon, the afternoon of the 49th day. And here we are going to learn why that is. The title is A Hair's Breadth of Wisdom. During the Omer, we let wisdom flow unabated. According to the Jewish law, it is forbidden to cut the hair of one's head during the period of the counting of the Omer, in remembrance of the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva who died as a result of a plague. The Talmud explains that they perished as divine punishment for not honoring one another. The students stopped dying on the 33rd day of the counting of the Omer, which is known as Lag BaOmer. And today, many cease this semi-mourning at this time. Others, like the Ari himself, was accustomed to continue until the day before Shavuot, at the completion of 49 days. my commentary. In Kabbalah, we do not do anything to commemorate a physical event. Thus, the above explanation is inadequate, in my opinion. Let us hope that spiritual discussion below will clarify the reason for this custom, this minhag, to not cut our hair during the Omer. The reason we don't cut hair during these days is because, as is known, there is a rectification among the Sheva Tikkunei Resha, or the seven rectifications of the head of Arichan Pin, in the supernal skull, the Golgotha, called Emer HaNaki, literally the white wool head. Associated with the hair which flows from the head of Arishan Pin, and another rectification called Tale Bedulcha, literally crystal dew, associated with the brain. All of these code words need to be explained, as I'm writing in my commentary. If they are explained not during the balance of this essay, I will attempt to explain them at the end of the essay. To fully understand, one must understand the language of branches, and that needs deep explanations of code words, especially the ones in the above paragraph. As the Ari will elaborate, the word Emer, from Emer HaNaki, is spelled the same as the word Omer, Ayin Mem Vav Resh, or Resh. The measurement described for the daily barley offering meant to be brought during this time period. Besides the skull itself and the cranial membrane, known as the Kruma de Avira, the two above mentioned of the seven supernal rectifications of the head in Arichan Pin, described by the Zohar in Idra Rabbah, in the large assembly. This large assembly represents when Rabbi Shimon came out of the cave. He had 10, including himself, there were 10 people learning from him. These are the rabbis, Rabbi Shia, Rabbi Abba, and so forth in the Zohar. During the course of his life, three of those people passed away. They didn't just pass away, they left because the wisdom they were being taught could no longer be revealed in this world. And that's called, at the end of his life, he was speaking to the seven that were left, which is considered the small assembly. So these two, the Emer HaNaki and the Kruma de Avira, are the two most supernal through which all influx of divine wisdom descends to the lower worlds. The mitzvot associated with the period of the counting of the Omer actually help sweeten all of existence. When we count the Omer, we are eliminating judgments in this period of judgment. We are sweetening these judgments. Emer HaNaki, understood by most as relating to the place of the ears of Arichan Pin, originates in the inner Netzach and Hod of Atik Yomim. Talei de Dulcha, the brain of Arichan Pin, It's ha-chachma, it's wisdom, originates in the Sefirah of Geburah of Atik Yomim. This is the supernal root of all judgmental forces in Adam Kadmon. Thus we see that these two places are the source of most of the harsh forces to descend into the world that we experience. By being conscious of the powers invested in us, to mollify these powers and put them into a useful context via the mitzvot associated with the period of the counting of the Omer, we actually help sweeten all of existence. Regarding the requirement that the generation of the Exodus preserve a measure of manna as a remembrance to future generations, the Torah states, Moses said to Aaron, take a jar and put a full omer of manna into it. Place it before Hashem for safekeeping for your generations. A few verses later, the amount required is further described. The above paragraph is the secret of the verse. The omer is a tenth of an ephah. This is verse 16:36 from Exodus. V'ha'omer asarit ha'efahu. The Ari understands the omer in the above verse as relating to the omer of barley that we offer during the period between Pesach and Shavuot, known as the counting of the omer. Thus, two times the word omer is the numerical value of the word keter. Literally, keter means crown, associated with the skull of Arichanpin, and the emer hanaki, which is associated with the hairs of the head of Arichanpin, which are in the Sefirah of Keter. And here, the omer is a tenth of an ephah, is the secret of the letters of the word peah, which is associated with malchut, which is called Elohim, which is the tenth of the 10 levels, literally the 10 midot, the 10 characteristics, thus a tenth of an ephah. The word ephah, the measurement, and peah, literally the corner, as in the phrase, the four corners of the earth, connoting this word worldliness, are spelled using the same letters. In Hebrew, ephah is spelled Aleph Yud Peh He. Peah is spelled Peh Yud Aleph He. These are the same letters. And this explains the above paragraph. Behold, Rabbi Akiva expounded upon these hairs, which is the secret of when he taught about the crowns of the letters. In the traditional Asherit script of the Torah, crowns on top of the letters resemble small hairs. My commentary. The Asherite script is a very mystical type of font, which is used in the Torah. Some letters have one crown, some letters have three crowns. In the Torah, 1,800 letters have crowns where the base or the hair-like line is not straight, but are bent. Rabbi Akiva is said to explain these letters. In modern scrolls, these bent letters are not written this way anymore, since the understanding of these differences are not well known, and they're not sure which letters to have this bent hair. The Talmud describes Moses' astonishment after being given a prophetic vision of Rabbi Akiva expounding myriads of laws learned from the crowns found in the traditional Asherit script of the Torah. And these crowns resemble small hairs and are described in the writings of the Ari as channels for the descent of supernal wisdom. As a result, because his students perish, it is forbidden to cut hair during this period. And I am adding this period of the Omer. Rabbi Akiva's students were rooted in an aspect of his soul and were channels for his wisdom into this world. In commemoration for this loss, it is fitting that we, on a microcosmic level, act accordingly. Rabbi Tzvi Elimelech from Dinov, known as the B'nai Yisachar, citing the Ari's teachings that Rabbi Akiva was rooted in the Sefer HaChokhma, notes that the Hebrew word for honor, kavod, that which Rabbi Akiva's students were lacking in their treatment of their fellows, has the numerical value of 32, relating to the 32 paths of wisdom. Issachar was reincarnated in Rabbi Akiva. Elsewhere, the Ari notes that the Hebrew word for hair, seyar, is rooted in the same letters as the word for barley, seura, the actual commodity brought as the Omer offering. My commentary, both words, seyar and seura, use the same letters, shin, ayin, resh, in different orders. And this is an unwritten commentary. If you parse the word into the shin and then the ayin resh, ayin resh represents the word for evil. And the shin represents fire or passion. Barley is the passion of evil. The word Omer has the numerical value of the letters Shin and Yud, 310, as in the concept of 310 worlds, which is Yesh, Yud Shin, Miayin, literally existence from nothingness. Yesh Miayin is a famous phrase from the Sefer Yetzirah. My commentary, for those who have not yet made the connection, Yeshem can be parsed into Yesh and Shem. Translation, there is a name. Ayin has the meaning of nothingness. It's actually Ein. And it's related to the Sephirah of Keter. Thus, the Ari hints that the entire supernal source of the strength of Rabbi Akiva is the same as that of the Omer period. And this is the first Yud Shin of the name Issachar, the son of Jacob. A strong-boned donkey who was reincarnated in Rabbi Akiva. This is the secret when Rabbi Akiva said, I will bite you all as would a donkey. In his younger years, Rabbi Akiva, before returning to the fold, used to threaten the sages of his generation thus. In the Gate of Reincarnation, the Ari goes into great detail regarding the reincarnation of Rabbi Akiva, citing in addition that the majority of the members of the Sanhedrin, The greatest of the sages of each generation were from the tribe of Issachar, whose strength lay in the Sephirah of Chochmah. That's the end of the handout, the end of the class. Does anyone have questions? Tomorrow morning we have a class at 7 a.m.
How do you know that Issachar?
The Torah. Go ahead.
How do you know that Issachar became Akiva?
We know that Issachar became Akiva because the Ari tells us so. In his Gates of Reincarnation, he goes through many of the biblical people and explains their source in earlier generations and explains the mistakes that they made and how they needed to reincarnate into whom they reincarnated into. So Rabbi Akiva was a reincarnation of the son of Jacob, Issachar. That's the source of the information. So our class is tomorrow at 7 a.m. We will read the Torah for the holiday of Passover, Pesach. And our 4:30 class will be a deep Zohar class, continuing where we left off tonight, which was, I believe, verse 43. So we'll start with verse 44 in section 25. And tomorrow at the 7 o'clock class, we will have the counting of the Omer and questions and answers. So I hope you'll bring questions. I bid you all Shalom Gadol. Have a beautiful evening. And I hope to speak to you in the morning. Shalom.
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 Shalom. Thank you. Good night.